We're going through the different tests of 1 John, okay? And today we'll be working on the compassion test, okay? The compassion test. And we'll just be going through a short lesson on it. And then after we'll show a DVD, which is interesting because it's actually the testimony of one of Christians from the 18th century in cartoon, okay? For children, but mainly for children, but for us. Also, we can definitely learn lessons, okay? It does give a historical account of what actually happened. Unfortunately, things have changed ever since he started. I'll introduce him later. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, okay? 1 John chapter 3, compassion test. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we'll be dealing with... We're going through verse 16 to 18. Then after that, we'll be defining what compassion is. And then we'll actually look through what are the evidences of compassion in a Christian's life. And then after that, we'll watch the DVD, all right? And so children, try to fill in the blanks. And also try to be attentive to the lesson, okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Okay? I'll just read the three verses. Then we all read together, okay? Then we all read together the three verses. 1 John 3, verse 16 to 18. Ready? 1, 2, go. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but indeed and in truth. Amen. Let's bow a word of prayer, all right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a Heavenly Father, and Lord, truly we know that you are full of compassion and mercies, Lord, for your people. We're asking you, Father, to speak to us in a special way, and Lord, also to help us to see that one of the evidences, Lord, of a genuine Christian trusting you as personal Savior is that of compassion. And Lord, may thy word come alive in our lives and also in the DVD presentation, Lord, that we may be able to see practically, Lord, what it means to have love for someone who is in need. And we'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start this, to introduce things, I believe in Ambassador Baptist Church, the Lord has allowed us to have many, many people who have a heart to help, okay, others, which is a blessing. And may I encourage us to continue that because there's an evidence of genuine Christianity, okay? And may Ambassador Baptist Church always be a church of compassion. But we want to learn what compassion is as we go through the test, okay? What is compassion? What is compassion? Anyone? Is it defined there for you already? What is compassion? I think we did it before in March. I gave the definition of compassion. Anyone remember what is compassion? What does compassion mean? Okay, compassion, all right? In the Greek word, it means to have bowels yearn, to have the bowels yearn. The word bowels come, the word idea of bowels doesn't mean your gut, all right? In the olden days, the word bowels means the center of the body, meaning the center of the person, the central of the person, okay? To have the bowels yearn, to feel sympathy for, and to be moved with. In other words, when you see something happening to someone, most of the time is something bad happening to someone, you are moved in from the inside. Okay? Some people are unmoved by people. Some people are overly moved. In other words, they see something, they faint. Alright, they overly move. Okay? So, in the Webster's Dictionary, for people who want to have a good, accurate understanding of English words, the Webster's Dictionary 1828 is actually a very good one because it actually gives biblical examples of how the language should be used, okay, the root. In the Webster's Dictionary, the word compassion means this, a suffering with another. Okay, it starts off, compassion means you suffer with someone else. A painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow, in other words, it's something that's inside of you that gets sad because of what you see that happened to someone else. Okay? The compassion is a mixed passion. It's mixed with love and sorrow. In other words, you are sad over what happened to someone else. But at the same time, love comes out of that. Alright? When we saw, perhaps when we see the poor taxi guy hit by the red Ferrari, Okay, we pray, wow, poor thing, man, pity. Okay, and wow, the guy, we start to have, perhaps we are sad for the family, but man, what else can we do, you know? All right? But for someone who may be on site, say, oh no, what happened? Oh, he may actually excite him to more than just saying sorry, more than just feeling sorry, he will actually do something about it, okay? So, compassion really is two aspects, okay? Love and sorrow mixed together, leading to action. Love and sorrow mixed together, leading to action, okay? Genuine compassion always has action. Okay, now we want to just quickly go through some aspects of the Bible to see what are evidences of compassion that the Bible teaches. When we say we are a Christian, can I say this? If this is evident in our life, it actually indicates we are genuine Christians, because genuine faith will have evidences of this kind of compassion. Okay? A few things. Let's turn to... Alright, we've already read 1 John 3:16 to 18. Alright? Hereby we perceive the love of God. In other words, this is how we understand God's love. Because the reason is, we saw Him laying down His life for us. This is how we see the love of God, in that He died for us. He laid down His life. And John quickly draws the parallel, we ought. The word ought there is imperative, it's a command. If God, that is the way how God shows us His love, in the same way, we are to show our love for someone else, okay? So that's what John is saying, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, what does that mean, lay down our lives for the brethren? He means it literally. It means that we need to be able to be willing to die for someone else. In other words, within Ambassador Baptist Church or the assembly that we have here, when I look at a brother or sister, anything that happens to the brother or sister, I must be willing, in my heart at least, to die for that person. Okay? And that is actually a contradiction, because if I say, I'm willing to die for this person, but then I can't stand him. If I'm willing to die for someone and I cannot stand that person, that is a contradiction, okay? Now, let's move on. Then, John goes on to say, whoso have this world's goods, that means whosoever have in possession, whosoever have possession of this world's things, food, money, clothing, shelter, and then sees someone in need and says, and shuts out the bowels companion. In other words, person has need, don't worry, I think he can take care of himself. The person has need and you do nothing about it. God actually says, how is it possible that God's love can dwell in that person? Now I want to think clearly in this. God says that if a person says he's a Christian, but when he sees someone in need and do nothing about it, God's saying, that's not Jesus. Does it make sense? That is not Jesus. If you see the life of the Lord Jesus in the gospel, everywhere he saw, every time he see a need, he'll try to do something about it. Does it make sense? When he see, I like this one, I preached one before. Remember the widow of Nain? The widow of Nain. The widow of Nain is, he's a widow because, of course, her husband died. But then, the widow of Nain actually was in a funeral, and the funeral was his own son. Her own son. Jesus knew that in those days of society, if you're a widow and you don't have and your son died, you're a very poor thing, because widows, ladies are not allowed to work at that time. Okay? They may do small industries, but usually the men will take care of the ladies during no time. And so, if the husband died, the son dies, and this widow is, a lot of people are crying and just be sympathetic. But you know what? There's nothing that can change this widow situation. Guess what happened? I remember I was reading and studying this. I like the phrase that this author was saying. As the widow of Nain was carrying the coffin, call it a bier, coffin, and the procession was going through, there came Jesus. All right? Where the Prince of Life comes and meets death. And guess what happened? The first thing Jesus did was tell the woman, don't weep. Your son is not dead. Of course, everyone thinks it's crazy. And he did something which was against custom. He touched the coffin. It is illegal, or rather it is sacrilegious. Okay, it is wrong for a so-called rabbi to touch the coffin. But Jesus did. You know why? He touched the coffin and told the son, get up. And the son rose from the dead, literally. Okay? Whenever Jesus was and he sees a need, he does something about it. That's why John says, If you see a need and don't do anything about it, that's not Jesus. All right? Okay? My little children, let us not love in word. Don't just say, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do it really. Do it in action. Okay? The first evidence of compassion is confession involves sacrificing for our brethren. Sacrificing for our brethren. Being willing to give what rightfully belongs to us for someone else. And I'm thankful that Ambassador, we have a culture, and I hope this, and I dare say it's a biblical culture whereby we are willing to give to someone else what rightly belongs to us because we love that person, okay? But we need to be careful, all right? The person receiving it, don't abuse that, okay? Don't abuse that because God will judge you for it, okay? But the others, if you find that person is abusing, well, just keep giving. Of course, be wise about it, all right? Not saying anyone is doing that, but just we need to be careful the church grows. Number one, okay? The next one, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, okay? The first one, compassion involves sacrificing for our brethren. Number two, Deuteronomy chapter 5, okay? You look at, even in Moses, it talks about this. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7 to 11. God actually told Moses, and this is recorded in the Mosaic Law, which means that in the Old and the New Testament, it's a consistent trend. God expects compassion of His people, okay? Verse 7, the Bible says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, in that which he wanteth or lacketh. God is very clear about this. Okay? If you see someone in need, no one is supposed to close himself up to that person, but open wide. All right? Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 5. Got it? Sorry? Yeah, 7 to 11. Is it not there? Is it 15? Oh, okay. Is it 15? Sorry. I'm glad I got typo. Sorry. Is it 15? 15, sorry. Typo. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 to 11. So sorry. Thank you. Just say, Pastor, wrong verse. Preaching heresy. Okay, sorry. It's Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 to 11, okay? Verse 7 to 11, not 7-11. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren, okay, I read that before, verse 8, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need, in that which he wanteth. Okay, God is very clear about that. If you find someone that has a need, our goal is to reach out to that person to lend him that which is sufficient for his need. Okay, compassion involves, based on this verse, helping the poor. Compassion involves helping the poor brethren. Okay, question, what does it mean to be poor? Have you ever heard people say, I got no money? And then wearing, don't know, a Rolex or something. I was very surprised. How many of you read the news today? I think it was who won the French Open? Rodal, Federer, Rodal, Nadal, or something like that. He wears a 300,000 pound watch, not 100 pounds, no, like equivalent to almost $500,000 worth watch. All right. Oh, wow, no, it was in the newspaper. The back page. Apparently, someone stole his watch and was found out. Okay. I was wondering, anyone want to see the kind of watch? But you know what? He wears a $300,000 watch. Wow. Okay, but anyway, I'm not covetous. I just eye-open. But you know, people say, I have no money. But then, you know, they actually have a lot of things about themselves. What is the definition of poor? We need to be careful. Because many Christians are very kind. When we are kind in helping, we must also define who we need to help. Okay? Because I think sometimes some Christians' kindness can be taken advantage of. And unfortunately, some people get so burnt. We literally have one that comes to our church and say she doesn't trust church. She's a Christian, but all he has, this is a Christian in another country, all right? All she sees in churches is the churches wanting money. Okay? And everyone else is living in luxury. Still, they want money. Okay? But in this situation, what's the definition of someone who is poor? The word poor in the Bible literally means this: destitute of property, having insufficient to meet the most basic needs. Okay? Destitute of property. property, that means he don't have much. Literally, he has insufficient to meet his daily necessities. What are the necessities that the Bible says we must definitely have? Food? Huh? Air? Food and clothing. Anything else? What other necessities do we need? What are Bible needs? Food, clothing, what else? Shelter? Check the Bible. Is shelter a biblical need? If you look at it, shelter is not actually a biblical need, all right? But of course, it protects us from the elements, okay? In other words, there are sometimes that if we don't have the shelter, we are not. God didn't promise that He'll give us a house, but He'll provide us our needs. Okay, just to put that things in perspective. Nothing wrong with having a house, okay? I think if you have a family, it's important to have a house, okay, so your children can feel safe in. Have you ever slept outside before? And those in the army, you know, you sleep outside, sometimes you're, you know, in the middle of the night, it's just absolutely freezing. But you know what? A poor person is someone who have difficulties meeting the most basic needs, okay? And so when we look at helping someone, we need to understand that we need to look at the person. If the person has a lot of investments and all that, and after that, and say, sorry, I'm very poor. You will sell your investments and make some money out of that, you know? We need to be very careful, all right? Christians are oftentimes, sometimes even accused of being unkind. You see, I got no food, no, they never provide for me. But actually, that person is also very rich. So we need to be very careful, okay? So compassion involves helping the poor. The next one, maybe if we can have Brother Desmond, if you can read Luke chapter 3, verse 11. Then Jacob, you can turn to Ephesians 4:28. Just go through a little bit faster. And the rest, we go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 to 12. Okay. Luke chapter 3, verse 11. Okay. John the Baptist, the Pharisees came to John the Baptist's baptism. And after that, they actually asked John the Baptist, so what do we do? You know, if you want to show an indication of repentance, what do we do? You know what John the Baptist say? If you have two coats, give to one that has none. Now, it appears that compassion or giving to the poor is an indication of repentance. You know, immediately one person comes to my mind. Zacchaeus, remember? Zacchaeus, immediately when he was saved, in Luke chapter 19, what's the first thing he did? Lord, I gave half of my goods to the poor. Alright, immediately there's an indication of compassion for the poor. As to whom I've cheated, he made restitution, I return unto him fourfold. Okay, so compassion is an indication of repentance. Okay, stop me, alright, if you have any questions. Next one, Ephesians 5:4-28. Okay, let him that stole steal no more. The replacement principle. If we are in our old life, have a tendency to be angry or steal, Paul says, stop stealing, start working. All right, don't steal anymore, start working. For what? So that he may have to give to him that needeth. Okay, compassions involve giving. And in this situation, in the context, involve giving financially to someone who actually needs. Okay? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 to 12. I think most of you are there. I just want to read this. This is a very important principle. When you actually give to the Lord in the church, what actually happens to what you give? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 to 12, for those who just came in, we're talking about the compassion, all right, and what are some evidences of compassion. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 to 12, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that he always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So Paul is actually telling the Corinthian church, God is able to make everything that you need, all the grace that God has to bless you. Okay? So that you always having sufficiency in all things, you may continue to do good works. If you know 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul is talking about giving and giving financially. In other words, Paul says, the more you give, God's going to multiply what you give so that you can do more. Not to keep for yourself, I'm not preaching the wealth, the prosperity gospel that people are preaching today. But God does say, if you are willing to give and multiply that to the people that are doing the work, okay, let's go on in that particular passage. You will see what I mean. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. His righteousness remaineth forever. He goes on to say, he that ministereth seed to the sower, the person who gives to the sower refers to the preacher, someone who spreads the word of God, the sower, both will serve bread for your food, and then multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Someone supporting me, I come and sow the seed among you, so that you can grow, and so that you can continue to sow again. Does that make sense? So which means when we give to the missionaries abroad, the missionaries have the support from us financially. They go overseas, they preach to the people, they get saved, they teach the people, the people begin to be blessed as well, and they reach out as well. Does that make sense? The Lord taught me this lesson a long time ago. It's a very important lesson. When you give a little bit, and in the name of Christ you give it, God multiplies it manifold. Okay? I can help. Afterwards you view the DVD about one man who was saved from the streets, and through him, God used him to reach thousands for Christ. Okay, I mentioned on Sunday about, remember Robert Moffat? Okay, a very discouraged preacher, but this little boy came to him and then said, "Sir, can I be a missionary?" He said, "Of course you can." Robert Moffat went on to reach thousands of people in Africa for Christ's sake. Just one preacher's word to one man, and he was able to reach thousands. Okay, so when you give, remember, it's spiritual worship when we give financially as well. Okay? Any questions? All right, the next one, let's turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. Okay? Another evidence of compassion in the life of a Christian. Okay, for those who just came in, I'll just quickly read through. Let's see. Okay, compassion involves sacrificing for your brethren. Compassion involves helping the poor. It's an indication of repentance. Compassion involves giving and giving financially. The next one, compassion is an expression of genuine faith. Let's turn to James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Compassion for the poor is an expression of genuine faith. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Let me read that. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, poor. He's referring to the poor. Okay? And one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding, give them not those things which are needful to the body. But does it profit? What's the point of talk? That's what James is saying. You Jewish people always talk. Okay? I'm preaching through the book of James for the Chinese folks. And you know, one of the things that people say, if you don't care for someone who has need, it's just talk. Okay? Compassion, helping someone in need, is an expression of genuine faith. Oh yeah, but Brother Johnny, you know, non-believers can help. Yes, they can. But you know, all the more, as believers, our heart, we don't just help with the money, we help with our hearts. Okay, we actually help with our hearts, okay? Compassion is an expression of genuine faith. All right, any questions? The next one, let's turn to Matthew 25. Compassion. This one, I'll let the Bible say it for itself. Matthew 25, verse 34. Okay, if you, I'll just quickly go through. Let's see. I won't read through the whole passage, but I wrote from verse 42. Okay, verse 34. Sorry, Matthew 25, verse 34. Okay, I'll read from there. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come ye blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For because I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat; I was thirsty, ye gave me drink; I was a stranger, and ye took me in; naked, and ye clothed me; I was sick, and ye visited me; I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer, saying, "Lord, when we saw thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink; when we saw thee a stranger, took thee in, or naked, clothed thee; or when we saw thee sick, or in prison, and come unto thee." Verse 40, listen to what Jesus said to this people who help someone in need. And the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall answer and say unto them, "Surely, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these least of my brethren, if ye have done it to this poor brethren who believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have done it unto me. Compassion in action ultimately is an act of kindness to our Savior. When you help someone in need, you are doing it to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's what Jesus said. That's why it's so important for Christians to have fruits of genuine faith. It could be as simple as helping a poor boy who had just fallen down. It could be as simple as maybe a boy got a cut, you just give him a plaster. You know what Jesus said? If you give a plaster to a little child that has fallen, you have done it unto me. Think about that. In other words, every small thing that you do that benefits someone who is in need, Jesus said, you've done it to me. Okay? Any questions? All right, some final thoughts before we go on to the DVD. I'll just quickly go through. Final thoughts on compassion as we learn to care for others. In Proverbs 14, verse 21b, I think the verses are there, right? Verses are there. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 14, verse 21b, the last part. There is a wonderful inner sense of well-being to the person who is sensitive to and supplies the needs of the poor. God actually gives you a blessing inside your heart when you take care of someone else. Okay? That's what it means here. Proverbs 14:31, he that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. To oppress the poor is to dishonor and reproach God. Alright? Christians are not to look down on those who don't have much. Okay? We are not to look... If you do that, God says, you are dishonoring me. But if you honor, or if you have mercy on the poor, if you help the poor, you are actually in actual fact honoring God. Alright? That's what the Bible says. Okay? Just hang on for a while. Alright? Proverbs 19 verse 17. The Bible says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. He that had pity on the poor, if you see someone in need and we help the person, God says, I'll pay you back. I will. Guess what? When God pays you back, He pays you dividends, interest, high interest as well. Okay? God looks, when we have pity on the poor, God always looks it upon it as we have loaned Him the money, and God always pays us back. He will always do that. Alright? Any questions? Okay, in application, I'll just read the four applications, then I'll introduce the DVD. Whenever we see someone in need, we ought to rejoice. You know why? We are being given an opportunity to do something for Jesus. There are many needs in Ambassador. Sometimes we just have to open our eyes. Okay, there are many needs. We are being given an opportunity to do something for Christ. Okay? Application number two. When we help someone in need, God considers it a loan to Himself, and God will repay us. Okay? Number three, whenever you help someone in need, God promises that He will see that our needs are met. Our needs are met. Proverbs 22, verse 9, let me just read that. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Say again, God says, if you have a bountiful eye, in other words, your eye, not that it's very big, but bountiful means when you see something, you are willing to share, you're willing to give. God says, I'll bless you. If you're willing to give to someone, I will bless you. Okay? And God always does that. And last one, so God promises our needs will be met. Finally, whenever we help someone in need by sowing into their life, God has promised to give us an abundant harvest, which then will be able to then reach someone else. When we win someone to Christ, we are sowing in that person's life. When we help him grow, we're giving and giving in order this person will grow, and then this person will help someone else to grow too.